Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Let's go now, though, to Shower Thoughts. This is something that we do every Tuesday. We answer those ponderous questions that you have about life and the universe and everything. Shower Thoughts is what we call them. And tonight cuts to the very core of what it is to be a New Zealander and indeed the family unit and human decency, really. Does peeing on a lemon tree actually work? We have, of course, all had, you know, that uncle who swore by peeing on his lemon tree. But was it good gardening, or was it just a little bit weird? Well, to put us all out of our misery, I'm joined now in the studio by landscape designer Justin Newcomb. Kia ora, and thanks for joining us.
Kia ora, thanks for having me.
So, had you heard this?
Yes, no, I practiced this, actually. So, I definitely am a proponent of it, and... It works really well. But there's a few sort of caveats, I guess, you'd have for it as well. And, you know, it relies on a healthy human being and that sort of thing. But generally speaking, it does work. And, it's particularly good on trees. I think the main thing with a lemon tree, though, is to make sure that you've got some padding around the tree, so some mulch, some carbon, something to and not just directly onto the bottom of the tree. I think that's really key. But you'll get massive lemons. So if you've got container plants as well, container trees, it works really well. You know, they can go a little bit limey or a bit yellow and look a little bit sad. It's really effective.
Yeah. Is this something that's specific to trees?
No, you can, it's for, you know, lots of plants, lawns in particular.
What? But hold on, rewind. The spots on, you know, spots come up, yeah, I see spots on lawns and someone says, oh, the dog's been at it, you know.
Yep.
Talk me through this.
Okay, well, urine actually has a few trace elements. It's got potassium, phosphorus. It's got but a lot of nitrogen. And when you get a burn on the lawn, it's a nitrogen burn. And what happens, you'll notice that when you do get a burn on the lawn, you will have the brown burnt patch. And it's usually from a female dog that has a much higher amount of nitrogen in her urine.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And so, but what actually happens also is that as that urine dilutes, as it, you know, gets towards the edges, then you hit sort of like the Goldilocks zone, you might call that.
The Goldilocks zone.
Yeah.
And, well done.
Yeah, thank you. and you'll get a really flush sort of green ring around that brown patch. And that's the nitrogen. That's just the right amount of nitrogen to, and so, feed the lawn and grass, anything leafy relies on nitrogen. For a lawn, you can use your own urine for a lawn. You put it in a spray bottle, dilute it, say 5-1, something like that. If it's really dry, you probably want to dilute it a bit more because you don't want. You want that the moisture content in the ground will also dilute the urine as well.
Okay, so you don't just want to be, going out every morning after you wake up and letting fly right onto your tree.
Onto the tree, as long as, like I said earlier, as long as there's a good padding of like mulch or something around the bottom of the tree. Trees have a lot of really sensitive surface roots, and that's where, you know, fruit trees in particular, they get a lot of nutrients from the surface, and so you don't want competing elements around the tree. So I wouldn't put, you know, for example, grow lawns right up against fruit trees. Usually put a nice ring of mulch around the outside, and that mulch is made of carbon, and the excess nitrogen in urine will help break that carbon down and turn it into soil. So it acts as a bit of a pillow between you and the tree. But if it's really dry and your tree's quite young, you might end up actually burning the tree. So you've got to have to be a little bit careful. you know, with how you use it.
Well, yeah, because you talked about diluting it, like a 5-to-1, 5 parts to 1. So yeah. without getting too, I mean, it is a nighttime show,
yeah,
but
yeah.
we're also a family show.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah.
are you you're getting spray bottles.
Yeah, I mean, then, for a lawn, for example, yeah, you'd want to use a spray bottle because you just want a nice even distribution. So that just makes sense. You know, in summertime when it's a bit drier, like I said, the dry conditions, if it's a bit drier, I'd dilute it a bit more. Uh-huh. It's a really great foliant, and the nitrogen is really easily absorbed. So it's a really good way to, you know, not flush something down the toilet and send it out into the ocean eventually and all that sort of thing. And you know, it's a good environmental sort of outcome, I think, as well.
If it's yellow, don't let it mellow. Chuck it in a spray bottle, dilute it in a 5-to-1 ratio, and watch the greenery spring.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think that's the idea behind it. I mean, there's a few other things you can do with your urine as well. I mean, compost is another one. So compost often dries out. People wonder why the compost isn't working. And if you actually dig around, you'll find it's really dry. The other thing with compost is that the decomposition process requires a lot of nitrogen. So it's really beneficial, and it acts as an activator. So, you know, having your standard bucket or watering can is about 9 litres. Mm-hmm. So if you put a litre of urine in that and just, you know, and water it into your compost, it'll have a lot of benefits for your compost as well. And if you do want to pee directly onto something outside, not in the toilet, get a bale of straw.
Right.
It's called a straw bale toilet.
Yeah. A straw.
Yeah, that's right. And you can just pee directly onto that. A good thing to do over winter while your vegetable garden's fallow. And what that does is compost down the straw, and then you can spread it out once it's composted down.
So the common theme to all of this is nitrogen.
And it is.
So nitrogen is like the thing for plants, is it? If they need nitrogen to grow really, really well.
Yeah, obviously, you know. So the more you get into it, the more you'll end up looking at, you know, different trace elements for different, you know, root crops and fruiting plants and all that. But nitrogen is a big part of most of the breakdowns for the various crops. Uh-huh. But just for general, like, tree health, general plant health, you know, it's a really, and if, like, for example, leafy greens, that kind of thing, you can spray it on as a foliant. You probably want to give it a wash before you put it in the salad and that sort of thing. But you, I mean, the other thing is that it is coming out of your body as well. So if you're, if you're on medicines and all that sort of thing, you know, be a bit careful.
Yeah, right. You know? Okay. Because I was going to ask that, like, if you're on heavy duty, you know, stuff that is getting into your body, or if you, you know, take lots of drugs or something like that, you probably don't want to be.
Yeah, that's right. It's not going to be great for your plants. I think one of the things actually that springs to mind is antibiotics. And I mentioned earlier being able to use, use the urine in your, as a, you know, as a compost activator. Uh-huh. Antibiotics obviously, kill bacteria and that sort of thing. So but that's a main element of composting. So it goes again. So that could actually have the opposite effect if you're on antibiotics. So that's probably one that springs to mind, and probably a few others. But I mean, trees in particular, you know, and lawns, you know, those things are actually, you're pretty safe. Yeah.
Why do you know all of this?
When I was about 10 years ago, a bit longer now, but about four, a few years, I was a garden writer, and I had and I wrote handyman column and garden column, and I did that full time, and I experimented with all the stuff at my house, and it all actually got a bit out of control, and I'm not that handy, a lot of my columns started with the line, I've done the research and don't do this kind of thing. So but it was amazing, actually. And so that's I got to read a lot and research a lot and write a lot, and so you just pick this stuff up. Yeah.
You work as a landscape designer now for an environmental services company. What does a landscape designer do?
Yeah, so landscape
design. Apart from designing landscape.
Yeah, well, we do a lot of negotiating. We do a lot of spreadsheets.
Expectation management.
That's right. Yeah, no, we do a lot of that. I mean, so I work for an environmental services company. It's called Green Scene, and we do, we've got ecologists, arborists, as well as landscapers and landscape designers, and I work with a group of landscape architects as well. So my job is basically to interface between the world and the stuff that happens in the office. So we do a lot of big commercial projects, public works, and also small private gardens. So, we try really hard to squeeze the ecological bent into as much of it as we can.
Yeah.
But it's something that I've been doing for a long time. I don't actually have any formal training or any. It's all, I've just spent a lot of time in the Auckland Library before the internet.
Really? You learned it in the Auckland? I love that. That's great. That's really cool.
Yeah. So something I was really passionate, really wanted to do. And I wrote a few papers about landscapes when I was at art school, actually. And that's how I got started. And the sort of the ideas. And I studied the history. And I took a little garden tour, actually, which was really fun, with some retirees, I guess you'd say, and to the UK, and we spent drove around and visited all these amazing gardens that I'd studied, which was a real highlight.
Cool.
And so that's how I got into it. Yeah,
I'm putting you on the spot, but there is this. I did not expect any of the answers that we got tonight. And you mentioned that, like, you have done a bit of experiment. I mean, are there other top tips for people? Finding sort of on the cheap or convenient ways to enhance and beautify their gardens, in addition to peeing directly onto their lawn or their tree after putting down a straw bed or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, probably if you want to have a productive garden but you don't have a lot of time, I'd focus on trees. Mm-hmm. I think you definitely get, like, as far as calories out of the ground go, you probably can't go wrong with trees. Avocados are great in particular. If you want to get into sort of feeding up your plants with really natural homemade products and do it all yourself, seaweed fertilizer is really good and really interesting. It's really smelly, but that's a really good one for your garden. I think like design tips. One thing I always say is make sure the front's about impact. The front of your house, when mm-hmm. you walk up to the to the front of the house, it's all about impact. So you don't need lots of different types of plants,
right?
And a nice lawn is always really good. It can be a bit boring actually, but it just looks really beautiful when
simple,
you,
timeless,
when,
elegant.
It's comfortable when people arrive, so it has that kind of impact, and people get it. I think that's the main thing. Whereas the rear is all about interest. So because you're spending a lot more time out there, a few flowers coming up, fruit, birds, bees, that sort of thing, and just do something simple, but do it well. Yeah.
Justin Newcomb, that was great. Oh, let me ask you this. What did you wear to your 7th form ball? And who'd you take?
I didn't go to 7th form, but like your other chap there.
Okay.
I went to 6th form and I had a girlfriend at the time whose name was Juliana. Mm-hmm. And she dressed me in the, in a bowler hat and I think it was black, We were pretty... Yeah, and I was, it was...
a bowler hat?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the suit was, I can't quite remember, but I remember the shoes were really uncomfortable. She made me wear these shoes without socks, and I got blisters, almost straight away. And, but she was a pretty fun lady. And she was worth it. No. But somehow I think we're still friends. Yeah.
The cosmic forces of the universe.
Yep.
Justin Newcomb, that was great. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
That was Justin Newcomb.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.